Welcome to the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. My name is Brittany Nicole. I'm a life coach and I train women who are recovering from abuse to reclaim their power and strategically redesign their lives. Today's episode is specifically about common pieces of super unhelpful advice that are often given to people who are actively in abusive scenarios or survivors of abusive dynamics. So we're going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about something called the secret sexual basement. It's not as kinky and fun as it sounds. It's actually quite horrible, but it's an excellent metaphor for understanding really complicated dynamics of abuse. So we're going to get into that. Let's dive right in. First of all, when you're dealing with emotional abuse, you are often seeking outside validation to confirm what you're experiencing. That's kind of the whole confusion is this, did that really happen? Am I tripping? Am I over-exaggerating? You're often in this constant state of trying to understand and grasp reality. And so you have a relationship with validation that is very nuanced. I've talked about validation before in a previous episode, in the episode about people pleasing. And the way I understand and look at validation is obviously there's internal validation, which is, you know, your ability to validate yourself. There's external validation, which is what comes from other people in the form of praise and approval. And whether you're in an abusive relationship or not, you want to examine your relationship to validation. We are human beings. We're wired for connection. We all need validation. But, you know, you do want to have a balanced relationship with validation and not over rely on it. However, you especially need specifically external validation when you're experiencing the covert, non-obvious types of abuse. Because when you're in a relationship with someone who systematically lies, who gaslights constantly, who's manipulating you, essentially your entire world is an illusion. You see glimpses of a good person that you love. You see glimpses of a broken person that you feel bad for and that you feel empathy for. Maybe you want to save them. You see glimpses of a hateful, lying person, all in the same body, all in the same relationship. And it's a very dizzying cycle that can make it difficult to determine who you're actually in a relationship with. It's kind of like being in a relationship with multiple people in the same body. So I say all of that to say, outside perspective, in this case, is actually very helpful. It's very powerful. It's kind of needed, but it's often not accessible. And outside perspective is often unhelpful, unfortunately. So I want to talk about some common unhelpful pieces of advice you might receive from friends, family members, and people in your life. And granted, some people do genuinely mean well. They're trying to be helpful. They are, you know, giving you the information that they think is best for your situation. But that doesn't mean that their advice should be taken. That doesn't mean that their advice applies to you or is useful. And in fact, you know, when someone really doesn't understand the dynamics and complexities of abuse, especially covert abuse, sometimes advice that would be useful or helpful in a healthy relationship is harmful in an abusive relationship. So it's really important to educate yourself on the complexities and on the nuance of emotional and psychological abuse, as well as the less well understood and covert types of sexual abuse, such as coercion, which does occur in relationships, including marriages. Once you actually have an education yourself, you have the language to understand how layered covert abuse is, it becomes clear to you, crystal clear, that the average person, unless they educate themselves, can't see what you see. What most people are going to see of your relationship is the tip of the iceberg. They're going to see the person who publicly loves you, who publicly adores you, who says nice things about you, who is attempting to be affectionate toward you in public. And what they're going to see is you're not being receiving of that. You're being hesitant toward this person. And so it paints a certain strategic picture. But again, it's the tip of the iceberg. What the abuser is portraying is kind of a performance, which carefully hides all the ugliness that you experience on a day-to-day basis. But unfortunately, an undiscerning person is not going to know that. And, you know, the truth is there's probably a lot you don't see either, because you're also a part of the illusion. You are not being given your rightful access to the truth. So I say all of that to say the average person's advice is going to suck. Your perception even needs to be clarified with proper education. So educate yourself on abuse dynamics and then decide not to take advice from anyone who is not experienced, who's not educated, or who's not properly trained to understand the complexities of your life. I remember being told, you know, you really just don't understand him. This was by a friend, a close friend, who knew about the history of infidelity and lies in my relationship. And the funny thing is, she was kind of right. She was kind of right. I didn't really understand him. I had no idea how many lies and secrets were being kept from me. And to this day, I think I still probably don't, and I don't want to. But in the moment, the context of her advice was that I needed to do more to solve this problem. And from my research, my training, and my personal lived experience, it's evident that this is so common to put the onus on the victim to try harder, to communicate better, or to even rush forgiveness. But the thing is, abuse is not a relationship problem. It's an integrity problem. Abusers know when they're being abusive, which is why they strategically show and hide parts of themselves to the right people. I want you to imagine something. And I want you to close your eyes and really imagine it like a weirdo. Unless you're driving, then don't close your eyes. You live in a house. It's two stories. There's a kitchen, there's a living room, two bedrooms upstairs. And you live in this house with your partner, whom you've known, let's say, 7 years. You've known this person for 7 years. You've seen so many different points of life with this person. You feel like you have intimate knowledge of this person. You feel close. You love them, right? This is your partner. And so to you, your reality is I live in this house with this person that I know and with this person that I love. That's your world. Except for the fact that you don't live in a two-story house. Your house actually has a basement. A basement that you had no idea about when you bought the house. A basement that you have no idea exists. A basement that you don't even have access to. You don't even know how to get access to this basement. And you have no idea what's in the basement. I'll tell you what's in the basement. Bodies. Bodies of 17 people that your partner brutally murdered. Their remains are in the basement, in the house that you live in with your partner. And you have no idea until one day you do. Somehow you discover this horrible place and that it's been existing underneath your reality the entire time that you thought that you knew your partner, you thought that you knew your life, you actually had no idea. And now that you know, you can't unsee it. You can't look at your partner the same way. You can't look at your life the same way. That's deception. Deception is defined as the act of deliberately misleading or causing someone to believe something that is not true. And I illustrate it because The Secret Sexual Basement is by Dr. Omar Minwalla. He's a licensed psychologist and a clinical sexologist, and his work centers around the trauma of deceptive sexuality and the effects of covert abuse on victims. He uses the secret sexual basement as a metaphor. In Dr. Minwalla's paper, he talks about deceptive sexuality. Deceptive sexuality is a concept where he defines problematic sexual behaviors that lead to very specific traumatic injuries. So Dr. Minwalla developed this new trauma model, and basically he elaborates on the traditional diagnosis of sex addiction, and he expands it to include sexual entitlement, problematic porn use, infidelity, prostitution, cybersex, flirting, and even sexual offending. Basically, what that means is he is trying to expand the way we think about harmful and compulsive sexual behaviors to include things that psychology left out of the definition before. And in his model, he gives more attention to covert psychological abuse. And this includes personality characteristics and behaviors like psychological manipulation, like impulsivity, lack of remorse, deception and manipulation, and covert domination. That phrase, covert domination, it hit me square in the chest when I heard it, because typically when you think of dominance or domination, you have a certain visual, a certain type of person in mind, a certain type of personality in mind. It's something obvious. It's in your face. But covert domination is what is created when in a relationship, only one person has access to the full truth about their life together. Or going back to the metaphor, when only one person knows that there's a basement and what's in the basement. Now, there are three phases in Dr. Minwalla's deceptive sexuality trauma model, which I'm going to talk about a little bit here, but I really encourage you to read the full paper. Yes, it is kind of a clinical read. It is, but I can't stress how precise, accurate, and validating it was for me and for so many people to be able to like look at this and say, oh, wow, this is what I've been experiencing. Oh, wow, I had no idea what to even call that. Oh, wow, I didn't even know that this was a real thing until I saw these words on this paper. But for, you know, the purpose of bringing more attention to this work, because unfortunately, it is not as popular as some other things that I've seen around infidelity and sexual acting out in relationships. For the purpose of bringing more awareness around it, I'm going to summarize it a little bit here, but still, I really, really recommend sitting down with this paper when you have the time, the space, and the energy to do it. So the three phases. So there's the covert phase. This is the phase where only the abusive partner knows that there is a basement. And in this phase, you might actually detect that something is off. There might be, you know, little things that don't add up. a text message that you received that seems like it was actually for someone else, and then is explained, no, that was for you. Or, you know, neglectful behaviors, times that don't match up with locations, but there's no concrete proof in this state. And the abusive partner is explaining their behaviors in a way that negates your gut instinct. So you are not firmly clear on the fact that there is a basement, but you may have a sense that something is off. Then there's the exposure phase. In this phase, now both people are aware that there's a basement and aware of what's in the basement, but the innocent party has to grapple with the dichotomy of existing basically in two places. You live in two worlds, the world that you thought you had, the life that you thought you had, the partner that you thought that you had, and reality. And it feels very much like entering into like a new dimension where you have to relearn everything about that world. I always think about WandaVision and how in the show she created this entire illusion where her and Vision lived together, and Vision was not aware that he wasn't even real and that his world was not even real. And then he has that moment where he starts to put things together and he starts to realize that life is not what he thinks it is. And that's what it feels like. It's like the illusion crumbles and now you have to figure out what's real. There's a list of types of deceptive, manipulative, and defensive behaviors that you may see in this phase. And I'm going to read this directly from the paper because I feel like it is that important. So bear with me, the list is a little long. The types of deceptive, manipulative, and defensive behaviors that occur in the exposure phase include minimizing, rationalizing, justifying, projecting, denying, covering up, lying/lying by omission, presenting partial disclosures as full disclosures, revising facts in history, blaming, obstructing, stonewalling, refusing to cooperate or speak, twisting the truth, getting angry, threatening, being aggressive or passively aggressive, using forms of domination and control, equivocating, withdrawing, feigning innocence or ignorance, assuming the role of the victim, fault finding, gaslighting, demanding immediate equality, engaging in frequent or rapid integrity violations or abusive actions, shaping the narrative, defying logic or reason as a protective tactic, using technical manipulation. Here's why I wanted to read that entire list. Because post-exposure, you are in a very, very vulnerable place. It is so hard to know who to trust and what to do. And this type of exposure, it literally changes your brain. It literally changes the way your brain functions. I wish I had an answer for exactly what to do post-exposure, and I don't, because there's not one answer. But what I can confidently say is the last person to take advice from is the person who has been creating an illusion for you to live in while they disrespected, dishonored, and humiliated you for their pleasure. I look back and I realize I was so naive in this phase. And if I could go back in time and give myself advice on what to do after the many disclosures that I had to go through, my advice to my previous self would have been to take my space and keep it. My advice to myself would be protect my mind and my emotions from anyone who is not hell-bent on supporting me, not my marriage, or not the concept of what they thought my marriage was, me. Now, I can say that now, but I know what it felt like back then. So I feel like I can say, you might feel like that's a lot to ask, but it's not. It's really not. Dr. Manwala describes what happens after exposure as reality ego fragmentation. This is where your entire sense of everything, including your sense of yourself, effectively dies. This leads to actual psychological, emotional, and physical symptoms. Like, let that sink in. You die on the inside. So, yeah, you have the right to protect yourself regardless of who gives you ignorant, uneducated, and unhelpful advice. You have the right to protect yourself. Whew, that one got me hot. I'm very passionate about this, if that's not evident from my tone of voice, because in my experience and my research, this is the part that we fail each other so often. I felt very failed, and so many other women have felt very failed in the what to do after exposure phase. Now, the last phase is the symptom progression phase. And part of the reason, in my understanding of why Dr. Manwala created this model, was not just to define things better in a more clear way, but also to provide more supportive treatment. This type of abuse produces a specific type of trauma. And that type of trauma looks like dissociation, denial, chronic depression, chronic anxiety, physical and medical symptoms, learned helplessness, learned compliance, sexuality and gender struggles, and my personal favorite, total loss of faith in humanity. While these symptoms don't sound so unique to trauma, I think what is unique is that he is able in his research to tie this to a type of trauma that doesn't really get enough credit for actually being traumatic. I have found this research to be incredibly validating. I see myself in every single phase. I saw myself in a lot of the symptoms. And let's be real, you know, that there is a part of my soul that's still recovering from the things that I have experienced that I probably will be recovering from the rest of my life. I want to say this to you. If you're listening to this because this is feeling like your life, you are in a war with reality. And so clarity is your best friend. Understanding what you're dealing with, your best friend. Having language and words to describe what you're experiencing, your absolute best friend. You want to talk about combating the cognitive dissonance and confusion that you experience when your mind is being constantly installed with toxic thoughts? This is what you have to do. Fortify yourself. I spent a lot of time with Dr. Manwala's work while trying to understand my own life. And I've recommended this previously in other podcasts, probably multiple podcasts, and I will continue to do so forever because there's a book by Lundy Bancroft called Why Does He Do That? It is kind of an easier read. It's not as clinical as Dr. Manwala's paper, but it is a book, so there's more content. But it is extremely straightforward. There's no frills. It is just a very detailed explanation of the mind of abusers and how they operate. And if I'm not mistaken, Lundy, I know that he works directly with abusive men in his practice, I believe since like the 80s. So he's been talking directly, working with directly, listening to directly men who abuse their partners for decades. So when we talk about advice, like his point of view is one to be interested in. And his analysis of abusive men and the way they think, the patterns, is so up close and well studied. Like, this is somebody whose perspective and whose point of view can help you to get the clarity that you need to be able to see your situation clearly. I'm going to include both of these resources in the notes here because education is such an important piece in getting your mind safe and getting your emotions safe and getting yourself safe. So start to set a standard for yourself to scrutinize advice that comes from friends, from family, and even from your faith communities. There will be people who don't want to disrupt their lives. They don't want to disrupt the status quo. So they're just more comfortable with you being abused than with you being divorced or being broken up. You don't want to listen to those people. There are people who are going to give, I think this response is absolutely, totally gutless of, you know, I'm neutral. There's two sides of the story. I'm not involved. Don't take advice from those people either. They're not invested and they don't have the courage enough to help you. There are going to be people who say stupid things, but who are truly well-meaning. And then there may be people who totally surprise you with the support that they can offer. You know, you just never know. And the thing is, none of these things you can control. None of them you can control. But what you can control is your mind. And as someone who knows firsthand, I can tell you, strengthening your relationship to reality is crucial. So educate yourself and face what you're denying. It's not an easy thing to say, I've been in an abusive relationship. It's not an easy conclusion to come to. It's not an easy thing to admit to yourself. And it damn sure is not easy to admit to other people. I completely and totally get it. And if you're not there, you don't have to be. Just take small steps, investing in your strength, investing in your fortitude. And if all that means right now is understanding what abuse is, you're on the right path. There were many things that I was unconsciously in denial about because I wanted to hope things would get better. And I'm not going to tell you not to have hope. That is something you truly have to come to a decision and conclusion 100% on your own. What I am going to tell you to do is keep track of things. Write it down. If you think things are progressing, find a way to tangibly measure progress. Evaluate it. Evaluate it again. And look for patterns. Look for if things are changing or if cycles are repeating. And that's my two cents. Actually, I feel like that was more like a whole quarter, but I digress. I want to thank you for joining me today, especially if you made it all the way to the end of this particular episode. Remember, healing is a journey. It's tough. Ooh, it's tough. But you're not alone. Now, for weekly insights from me, I invite you to join my free online community at CoachBrittanyNicoleWeekly.com. And if you're listening to this podcast, you are probably where I have been before, looking for solutions, wanting to make changes in your life, and not exactly sure how or if it's even possible for you. I get it. I understand. I can help you with that. So visit CoachBrittanyNicole.com to find out more about my training methodology and schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me. Until next time, take care of yourself and keep going.